Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thinking about what I wrote and thinking about how I feel, and they're not necessarily the same right now. What I wrote was this: I'm feeling a little dissatisfied. And so consequently, I did struggle with this sermon more this week than most. And you can feel very fortunate, because at one point I had about 10 pages of notes from which to preach. On the one hand, I'm feeling like a broken record on this joining Jesus stuff. And I don't want to be a broken record. The sermons that have been recommended for to go along with the Sunday school lessons that we have just don't seem to tell us what I think we need to hear. And so I have been struggling with that. On the other hand, I've been hearing all this time I've been here, we want to grow, and I want to see us grow. I also want to see us follow the Great Commission, Matthew 28, go therefore and teach all nations. But so far, nothing that we have tried seems to have worked. And so this seems like another good attempt, at least, to consider a new way of going out with Jesus and not for him. And that makes a lot of sense. So last night I read Matthew 28 one more time. Jesus has just arisen from the grave. He is meeting the disciples in Galilee. And Matthew quotes him as saying this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What Jesus doesn't say there is this. He doesn't say, "Only you pastors need to go out and teach and baptize." He doesn't say, "Once you reach the age of 70, then all the bets are off and you can sit back, relax, and let the younger people do all the work." As if we have younger people to do all the work. We're struggling with the same issues that many of the mainline churches are struggling with. As we've talked about before, the river has moved. The culture of this country has moved away from Christianity. They have left us sitting off on the side. Our mindset that used to work back in the 50s and 60s no longer works. In those days, everybody, or at least most people, knew that they should be on church on Sunday morning. Today, most people think there's no need to be in church on Sunday morning. And so my prayer is that through this process that we're going through, this series of sermons, the lessons that we're studying in Sunday school, you're beginning to see a change in your mindset from what we did 50 or 60 years ago to what we need to do today. And so then your question might very easily be, well, tell me what it is that we are supposed to do. Let me begin by telling you a story. Mark was a young high school boy who was going home from school one day early in the fall. And ahead of him, he saw one of his classmates that he didn't know very well at all. He saw him trip and fall. And he dropped everything that he'd been carrying, and he had his arms full that day. He had an arm full of books, and they were scattered around in the leaves, and a couple of them had actually slid into the gutter. He had two sweaters in his arms, and they are now covered with leaves. He had a baseball hat that is crumpled on the corner, and the baseball glove has been scuffed when it hit the sidewalk, the cement of the sidewalk. And the case of his recorder was cracked from hitting the cement. Mark walked up and knelt down and helped that young fellow pick up all his things and gather them together. And since he had so many, Mark even carried some of his things with him. And since they were all going the same, they were both going the same way, they started up a conversation. As they walked, Mark found out that the other fellow's name was Bill. He found out that Bill loved video games, that he liked history, and that he liked baseball. He also found out that Bill was having trouble with the rest of his classes in school. And then he found out, too, that Bill had just broken up with a girlfriend that he had been with for some time. When they got to Bill's house, Bill invited Mark in, and they had shared a soda and played some video games for a while. The afternoon went on pleasantly, and they shared a few laughs and some small talk. Theirs was not a particularly close relationship the rest of that year. While they continued to speak to each other when they met each other in the hall, and they had lunch a couple of times, there was not a close bond that developed between them. 3 weeks before graduation, Bill came up to Mark and said, "Did you ever wonder why I had so many things in my arms that day? Most people don't carry that much home from school." Mark said, "Well, gee, I don't know. I never thought much about it. Why did you have all of those things in your arms that day?" Bill said, "You see, I cleaned out my locker that day. I didn't want anyone else to have to clean it out after me. Because I had saved up some of my mother's sleeping pills, a bunch of them, and I was going home to commit suicide. So you see, when you helped me carry my books that day, you did a lot more. You did a lot more than just carrying those books. You saved my life." So what is it we're supposed to do? The author of the book that we're reading, called Joining Jesus on His Mission, says we're supposed to do two things. And they're not difficult things at all. Number one, he says, enjoy people. Talk to people. Enjoy getting to know them. Have lunch with them. Have dinner with them. Invite them over for coffee. Take them out for coffee. Enjoy people. And two, and this is not any more difficult, recognize and respond to where those people might need a little of God's grace. That's what Mark did in this story. He recognized that Bill needed a little grace. He needed a little help. He needed someone to just take some time to get to know him. Isn't that something that we can all do? As I considered this week, and this is one of the things that I struggled with, I began wondering, you know, what is really important? What's truly important in God's eyes? You know, what we think is important is not necessarily truly important. What God thinks is important is what we need to pay attention to. So did he set us here? Did he put us here to build a congregation of 600 members? Did he put us here to maintain this beautiful but human earthly building? Did he put us here to make sure that this congregation exists into perpetuity? Could it be that since the culture has changed, our reason for existence has changed? Certainly God has not put us here to be judge and jury of any other individuals or any group of people. He put us here to go out with him on his mission. He placed us here to be servants to one another. To one another here, to one another in the neighborhood, to one another in Albany. In Matthew 23, Jesus says, the greatest among you will be a servant. That's what we are supposed to be, is great servants. God placed us here to join Jesus on his mission because he died for you and me and all of those people out there as well. The people that we need to be servants to. So then the other question gets to be, what is Jesus' mission? I asked that question this morning in Sunday school and there was a lot of silence. And that's okay. Because we haven't thought much about that. What is Jesus' mission? The author of the book that we're reading suggests that this is the mission of Jesus. The mission of Jesus is to redeem and restore the broken relationship between God and man. It's to restore the kingdom of God to its original condition, its original perfection in the Garden of Eden. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." Seek building God's kingdom that's here now. This is not the perfect kingdom. The perfect kingdom won't come until Judgment Day. But this is the kingdom we live. This is the kingdom in which we serve others. And so, how do we do that? We seek the kingdom of God, according at least to Finke, who says, we seek that kingdom when we seek, recognize, and respond to what Jesus is already doing in our neighborhoods, in our lives, and in the lives of others. Jesus was already working in Bill's life when Mark picked up his books that day and went home with him. That's all Mark did. He picked up his books, he went home with him, they shared a soda, they played some games, and then Mark went home. No big deal. He didn't know the story behind where Bill was. He didn't know that Bill was carrying his belongings so that nobody would have to clean out his locker after he was dead. He didn't know that Bill was planning on committing suicide. He just saw someone who needed a little of God's grace, a little love, a little acceptance, a little helping him to carry his burden. And so as you go about your life this week, enjoy the people that you come in contact with. Look for people who are showing the signs of need for a little of God's grace, a little of God's love, a little of God's help. And let me close by reading this short poem that I think sums up what I'm trying to say today. If I can do some good today, if I can serve along life's way, if I can something helpful say, Lord, show me the way. If I can right a human wrong, if I can help to make one strong, if I can cheer with a smile or a song, Lord, show me the way. If I can aid one in distress, if I can make a burden less, if I can spread more happiness, Lord, show me the way. Amen. Now may the peace of that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.